podcast uses profanity in topics.
Oh.
Maybe disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. I'm apparently choking. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda. I'm horse. I'm sorry.
We got me choking and Amanda all horse.
I have another wonderful bout of allergy-induced laryngitis because, silly me, I went 2 days without taking allergy medicine and this happened.
Well, way to go.
Yeah. My bad, guys.
Well, Amanda does it on purpose. She's like, I just want my sultry voice going.
Yeah, that's what it is. I work in a call center, and this is, people have been calling me Samantha because they can't understand me, and I'm just like, I don't even correct them.
You're like, yeah, sure, it's Samantha.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Call me whatever.
That's what she
doesn't matter what you call me, I have to help you, so let's just get it over with.
So if they answer and go, hey, biatch, what up?
Oh, no, I hang up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what if I were to call you and do that?
I would probably, like, not even notice for a minute, honestly. But you would have to get me, too. So you would have to go through about 7 or 8 other people and call and hang up. Or, I guess, ask for me.
I was going to say, I can just ask for you.
Yeah, just ask for Samantha.
I think she said her name was Samantha. And they'll be like, I don't know who you're talking about.
They'll be like, we don't have that person. And I'll be like, did they say Samantha? That's me.
She sounded really sick.
They would be like, oh, that's allergy girl. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, give me one
She's
second.
Sniffling all damn day.
They're like, oh yeah, we know who you're talking about. Hold, please. Yep.
God, that's the new girl. Hold on.
Her name's not Samantha. Well, now you know.
Laugh. Who is this?
Oh, Lord. Well, anyways, other than your allergy-induced laryngitis, how are you?
You know, pretty dang good. We went to Fayetteville over the weekend, a little road trip, a couple hours in the car. Jack had a STEM festival there, and he made this nifty little basketball that you throw, or he made the goal. And a basketball, actually. But he made a basketball goal, and you throw a basketball in it, and it detects the vibrations of the ball going through the hoop, and it actually, like, kept score.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to do a little bit of coding, a little bit of this. They also made a foosball table.
Okay.
Yeah. This kid's way smarter than me. I was gonna say he's way smarter than I was at 11. But he's way smarter than me now, I think.
Yeah, that probably it's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. anything else fun?
What else? I don't think so. I feel like I had something else to tell you and I don't remember what it was. So I'll just let you go and then interrupt you.
Okay, well, I have another dream to tell you about.
Yeah, fuck my story. Let's go.
A fresh dream.
Oh, fresh. Oh, that's uncomfortable for some reason.
It was from last night. Okay, that's why it's fresh. It was like, you know, I'm not forgetting it over a couple of weeks. I remember.
Okay.
So basically in this dream, one of Cody's friends, for whatever reason, he was living out of his car. And he somehow convinced me and Cody to let him take one of our dogs so he had company while living out of the car, which, A, in real life, that would never happen.
Never.
Right? Like, never in a million years would it happen. B, how would I choose which dog you take? Hell no, I'm not making that decision. In the dream, he made that decision. So he takes my hound.
Oh, no.
And so, like a couple weeks later in the dream, friends found an apartment or whatever. I assume it's a couple weeks later. I don't know how much later it is. And I'm like, where's my dog? He's like, what are you talking about? In the cabinet. And I'm like, no. Why would my dog be in the cabinet? And like, we're going back and forth. And I'm like, where's Ben's? Oh, I sold him. What the hell do you mean you sold my damn dog? And he's like, well, I needed the money. I sold him for $100. My dog is worth so much more than $100, okay? He is priceless. This precious boy is priceless. Okay, I was pissed in the dream.
Did you just wake up and cuddle him so hard?
No, because... So, the dream continues, and I'm pissed. I'm like, give me whoever you sold him to. I want their number. He's like, well, it was a couple weeks ago. I don't give a shit. Give me the details. I don't have their contact information. And then something happens. That's a lie.
Nobody deletes that stuff from their phone.
Well, then something happens, and I somehow am like, look at this and see if they have their phone number on there. And they did. And I'm like texting and calling the person that bought my dog. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's kind of mean to other dogs. So he's outside. You can come get him. I'm like, I am on my way. Send me your address. And in this dream, my poor dog, like just laying on the street under like just this area, just trying not to be rained on or whatever. Totally sad. And I pull up and I get out of the car and I'm like loving on him in the dream because I'm just so happy I got my dog back.
Suddenly it turned into an ASPCA commercial with Sarah McLachlan in the background.
I was just so happy to have my dog back. And so I'm like loving on him and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy you're here. Like I remember in the dream being like, I will pay you $200 to get my dog back because you spend $100. I'll give you an extra $100.
Yeah.
And so... get him, the person that bought him comes out, and they're like, he's so mean to other dogs. And then Maisie comes out of nowhere, and him and Benz and Maisie are loving on each other because they're so happy to be reunited. And I was like, yeah, just your dog, okay?
Yeah.
I could have told you that. You shouldn't have bought him in the first place. My dog. And then I woke up. So it was like a really upsetting dream that turned into a really happy reunion dream because I was so happy to have it back.
There was so many pregnancy hormones in that dream and emotions.
Oh, yeah.
I got whiplash on your behalf.
Yes. Oh, I was ticked. I was sad. There was a point in the dream where I was crying because I couldn't get my dog.
Yeah.
I was like, I just want my dog back. Oh, give me gosh. My hand. I just want my dog. And so, yeah. So that was the pregnancy dream from last night. And I woke up pissed. First of all, I woke up because I had to pee like a racehorse. And, you know, I didn't actually have to pee like a racehorse.
Right.
Oh, I had to pee like a baby kicked me in the bladder because that's what happened. And then, yeah. So, and then I'm like pissed off because I'm like, how dare Cody allow us? Obviously, it's Cody's fault. How dare he allow his friend to take my sweet Benz?
That's what I was going to say. It's his friend. That's why I have friends.
At least not ones that I can easily access.
Yeah.
So we're good.
That's great.
Wonderful. So that was my pregnancy dream from last night. It's a real fresh one and I'm still real bitter about it. So my dog, how dare you? I got him back though. We're good. I was determined. It showed how much I loved him. I was like, I'm going to get this dang dog back.
Even in your dreams, you're like, nope.
Not happening. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, like I said, Maisie was there. She was jumping all over Benz, happy as could be to see him. Like, it was a whole reunion. Okay. I don't know where Bentley was, but he wasn't there.
He was maybe tired, licking his paw somewhere.
He stayed back with Cody, I guess, because I was probably pissed off at Cody. How dare he let his friend take my dog?
So did you wake up pissed off at Cody?
No, I just woke up like, oh my god, it was just a dream. And then I got up to go pee and I checked to make sure Benz was still snuggled in bed, and he was. I didn't wake him up and snuggle him, but he has been laying in the living room with me all day, which is abnormal for him.
Maybe he can sense you're uncomfortable.
He must have known about the dream and he was like, Mom, it's fine. I'm right here. Because I told Cody about it this morning. But yeah,
he's like, you're not getting rid of me that easy.
He's like, I'm here for the long haul, Mom, which he is. He's there. He's almost 11 years old this year.
Oh, old man.
He's an old boy. He's an old boy.
He don't want to go anywhere. He's an old hound. He just wants to lay.
No, literally, that's all he wants to do. Nap, hoard some bones, get some treats, hang out. He's good.
Take a nap because he's tired from his nap.
Take a nap because eating all those treats was really exhausting.
But
that was the dream. There was some very upset feelings and anger I went from like sad to angry to relieved to happy to pissed off that someone was calling my dog mean.
So did you wake up tired? Because that sounds exhausting.
Well, I mean, it was at like 3 a.m. So yeah, I woke up tired.
Okay, yeah. Oh, wow. You should have texted me because I was up with the baby.
I am not that rude. I don't know who's awake. I mean, the only person I might have texted is my mom, but that's because I know she's always, I don't think she sleeps. There are days where she has texted me at 5 a.m. And I'm like, why are you awake? Or there was one day where I texted my mom because I couldn't sleep and it was like 2 a.m. and she responded. I said, why are you awake? And she's like, why are you awake? It's like, I couldn't sleep. And she's like, well, I couldn't sleep either. So, all right. I think it was baby stuff I was texting her too. I think it was, I can't even remember what it was, but it was, I know it was related to baby stuff. It was pretty recently. But anyways, that's all I got for you. We only recorded a couple days ago, so I haven't had a lot of events.
Yeah, I've been trying to remember like, oh, I can talk about this. And that was it. That was the only thing I had.
Okay, well, I guess that means that we talk about socials. We have them.
Yeah, we can do that.
We have Facebook, Instagram, both Hell on Heels Podcast, X Hell on Heels Pod. We have our email up, hellonheelspodcast@gmail.com. So if you want to email us, suggestions, comments, complaints, whatever it is, you can email us there. If we do complaints, if we accept complaints, we don't accept complaints. We ridicule complaints.
Oh, so yeah.
Remember that. Trust me. Have you not heard me ridicule my own father's complaints?
Yeah, those are the best ones, honestly, yeah, to ridicule.
Speaking of, he hasn't actually been giving me a hard time about anything on the podcast lately. So I guess he's happy with us right now.
Should we mess that up?
Should we do a bash on dash session?
I'm always down for a bash on dash session.
It's the same bash as we do all the time. There's,
yeah,
there's just nothing behind those eyes.
There's nothing in that beautiful little head of his.
He's such a good boy, though.
I'll always. That's why, because he never has a bad idea.
So true. He's such a good boy. Anyway, so all of those are up and going. We have our Discord up and going, which you can find the link to on Instagram, Facebook, X. You also have our Patreon. So our Patreon, we're working to release specials, early access to episodes, things of that nature. And then if you guys enjoy listening to us, tell your friends, your family, frenemies, situationships, whatever. That way we can continue growing and releasing these episodes for you guys. And then are you ready for a story?
Probably not.
I think you're going to like this one to some extent.
Okay.
Okay.
You got me intrigued.
Well, we are going to be talking about Richard Mark Edward Ivanitz.
Okay. He sounds important.
Is it because he has four names?
That, and I think Ivanitz is like a company, a big company?
Ivanitz, I-T-Z.
Oh, okay. Then yes, it's because of the... Was that a hare?
Yeah, I think so. There's dogs over here.
Then yes, it's because he has four names. Anybody with four names is important, automatically.
He's not. Let me just tell you that right now.
Oh, does he suck?
Well, we're going to call him Mark. That is what he was called growing up, because he was actually named Richard after an uncle, from what I can find. So, to keep distance from his uncle, who is uninvolved, I am opting to use his preferred name of Mark.
Okay.
So, he was born on July 29th, 1963. He was born in Columbia, South Carolina. His parents were Joseph and Tess Ivanitz. He was the oldest of three children. So it went him, Kristen, Jennifer. So it was just him, the boy, and then his two sisters. The biggest age gap between them was about 8 years. So,
relatively.
Yeah, they're pretty. I mean, they're 8 years total. So between him and Jennifer, yeah, it's 8 years. Him, okay, and the youngest. Yeah.
And then they're pretty right on the line in each other.
Yeah. Plus. Yeah, they're pretty close in age. Relatively. Not like as close as me and my siblings are. There's like a 3-4 year difference there. Mm-hmm. Unless you include Milster, but she was a surprise. Anyways, so his young life with his family was described as dysfunctional. His parents would separate when he was a baby. They would get back together. They would separate again when he was just 12, get back together. And then they would officially divorce in 1985 when he was just 22 years old.
And you said he was the oldest, right?
He's the oldest, yes.
So this, like, turmoil with his parents has literally been happening his entire life.
Yes.
For him and his siblings.
He was 22 years old when they officially divorced.
Oh, wow. That has to be chaotic.
Well, throughout this time, it was said that his parents often cheated on one another, which was known to everyone in the household. Like, the kids knew about it. Like, one story even talked about how Mark became a messenger for his dad to, like, send or get notes to the neighbor that he was cheating with.
Oh, come on, don't do that.
Yeah. So the kids knew. It was a very toxic environment. Not only that, is his father was described as an alcoholic. Most sources stated he would pass out after drinking, though wives of his would say he only drank on weekends. Children disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
He was known to belittle his family. He would call them morons or peons. So I guess it was like a pick your poison type thing. Not only that, is he's just not a great person. One claim is that Joseph, the father, would drown Mark's dog in front of Mark. Yeah.
Oh,
not a good person.
God. No.
Another claim is that he attempted to drown Mark when he was just 6 years old. Though Joseph does say, I did not attempt to drown him. He was in the bathtub, freaking out because water was in his eyes, and I poured water over his head. But other people say he was in the bathtub and tried to drown him. Others say it was actually outside in the kiddie pool in front of other people. So you have a lot of conflict on that one.
So that's one we'll probably never know the truth to.
Correct. Now, wives of Joseph and Richard would claim, not Richard, I'm sorry, and Mark would claim that Mark did experience nightmares about his father when he was a young child. Jennifer, Mark's younger sister, she would describe their childhood stating, quote, we lived in a prison. Joe was a very controlling person. He wanted us to make straight A's. If we didn't, we were stupid. It was all about power and control. You'll get an A or you'll get a beating. I see him as a sadistic man. I know I saw the pleasure in his face out of making us miserable. End quote.
Oh, God.
So that's his own daughter saying this. So not a great dude to be raised by. At least not from my perspective, but I also have a great dad, you know, like I was raised by, whether my dad is a pain in my ass or not, I was raised by a great dad. But hey, dad, does that get me brownie points? Anyway, Mark is believed to have started drinking and smoking at age 12, adding in marijuana at about age 13. Even with this, all of this, and Mark was kind of a little bit of a troublemaker, is what he was described as. but he would actually still graduate high school in 1980 at the age of 16. And that's pretty good for a 16-year-old. Really? He would graduate early.
Yeah. Okay.
And when he finished high school, he would work as a manager at a Jiffy Lube at the age of 17.
He sounds like he's doing pretty well for himself.
I mean, he was still getting into trouble. There's one story about him writing like a fake check of like $350. And his dad claims he had to go in and beg the store to not press charges, that type of stuff.
His dad doesn't sound like the person that would do that, but okay.
Again, these are all reportedly. I don't have proof of anything that happened. I don't have proof that his dad was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have proof that he wasn't. He works at this Jiffy Lube as a manager, and then he would be persuaded to go in and enlist in the U.S. Navy. Which he would do, and he served as a sonar tech. He received a good conduct medal, and then he was honorably discharged. In total, he served in the Navy for 8 years. So, like, I mean,
feels like a long time. I think it's longer than, like, the standard. Like, he made a little bit of a career out of it.
Yeah. After he was discharged, he would work at businesses that sold air compressors and grinding equipment, typically. And on January 3rd, 1987, Mark would pull up next to Kelly Ballard in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, keep in mind, he kind of moves around. He's part of the Navy. He's stationed in different places. Now, Kelly was 15 at the time, and she was accompanied by her 3-year-old sister, who she's walking down the street with.
So he's driving and they're walking.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, Mark over here would expose himself to her.
Oh.
And then begin masturbating.
What the hell?
Uh-huh. The following day on January 4th, 1987, Kelly and her mother would be shopping in a local mall. Now, it's unclear if this happens before they get in the mall or as they're leaving. But Mark would be seen following them in the mall parking lot. And Kelly and her mother, they would get his license plate. They would notify local police. And Mark would be arrested a month later. Now, the reason he was arrested a month later, it took so long, because at the time, he was still in the Navy. So they had to arrest him when his ship returned back to port. So he just, okay. He harassed them, got on a boat, left, and then he had to come back.
He probably thought he was going to get away with it.
Probably. He would enter a plea of no contest for this. He would essentially tell authorities that he, quote, had a problem masturbating in front of girls.
Children.
Yes.
Gross.
So, since he entered this plea of no contest, he was sentenced to 3 years probation. That's it.
Okay. Did he get in any trouble military-wise?
Not that I could find.
That is surprising to me.
Yeah, not that I could find. Now, just to give a little more background into his character, not that we need a lot more.
Not that we want it.
But in February 1993, he would get a letter published in the Freelance Star. I could not find details of what was published other than the headline that accompanied his letter. And that stated, "Bigotry against gays betrays nation's ideals." So I can only imagine that his letter was likely a little homophobic.
Sir, you're a pedophile.
Uh-huh.
But okay.
So, I guess this could go two ways. Maybe he was defending the LGBTQ community. Maybe he was bashing them. I'm just saying it seems like he was likely bashing them.
What was the title one more time?
Bigotry Against Gays Betrays Nation's Ideals.
That feels positive. But from what you've told me about him, I don't think it is.
I feel like that's positive, because that's just the headline that's with his letter. Yeah. So it sounds like it's more of an article written with, like, surface inserts of his letter.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was under the impression he wrote the article.
No. His letter was published. He did write the article.
Okay, no, I'm with you. Yeah, he sounds like a D-bag McGee, to quote the title of the images here on the drive.
That is what I named him on everything on the drive. So sometime between all of this and 1997, he would get married. But in 1997, he would file for bankruptcy because he wasn't able to keep up with his bills after his divorce. So he gets married. I don't have an exact date. And then they get divorced.
All of this happens in 1997?
No. Sometime before then he got married.
Okay, I'm with you now. Sorry.
Basically, what I understood of this marriage was there was a little bit of an age gap. She was 15 when they met. I did not get clarity how old she was when they married, but he would have been in his 20s.
What year was it?
I don't have an exact year.
But it was late 80s, early 90s-ish?
It would have been early 90s.
So I don't think this was the norm during that time.
To get married to young girls?
Yeah. To like 15-year-olds.
I don't think she was 15 when they got married. She was 15 when they met.
But even at that time, that feels a little...
She was also a family friend. So
that feels worse to me.
Yeah. So from how I understood this relationship, from how I understood both of his marriages, he likes younger girls. So they get married. She grows up a little bit And because she kind of, you know, is becoming herself, she met a man out in California when they definitely lived on the East Coast. And she flew out there, came back, packed her stuff, and said, I'm moving to California. We're getting a divorce. Because she kind of, she matured in her own way.
Good for her.
Yeah. This was apparently very devastating for him. So he filed for bankruptcy. He's not able to keep up with his own bills. His house is foreclosed on in 1999 after his failed business venture. He's not doing great. He eventually moves to South Carolina. And in South Carolina, he gets a job working at an air compressor company. So staying true to what he's been doing since leaving the Navy. Now, while at this company, many of his female coworkers stated they would avoid him. And they said this was because of his misogynistic attitude.
Oh, he sounds like a winner.
Mm-hmm. And also that he had some anger management issues. These are just his female coworkers, like, nah, don't want to be near him.
So females were saying, or women were saying, that he was misogynistic and he had anger issues.
Uh-huh. That he worked
so with. So he dislikes women, is what I'm getting from that.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Perfect.
So.
Sounds like it's going to be a great story.
Look, I mean, ending. We already knew he had a problem touching himself, but he's also just a wiener head, too.
Yeah, he can't help but touch himself because he's just a big weenie.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know why I said it like that. Sorry, Wayne-y. I'm blaming the laryngitis.
He's just a big weenie. So, Mark Ivanitz, he would remarry around 1999. I have opted not to put her name in here. I'll explain why in a little bit. So he remarries, and they're having a great time. There is an age gap between them, which I'll also mention later on. On June 24th, 2002, Mark Ivanitz would actually abduct 15-year-old Kara Robinson in Columbia, South Carolina. Richard Mark Ivanitz was 38 or 39 years old at this time. She was 15. So Kara Robinson, she had been at a friend's house in their yard. She had actually been watering some plants in the front while she waited on her friend. She had spent the night at her friend's house. She's still in her pajamas at this point, right? She's like still in PJ's comfies, just waiting on her friend. They had been planning to go swimming with other friends. So they had like a full day planned. Now, Ivanitz, he would pull up in a green Pontiac Firebird and approach her. He is dressed nicely. He's got a button up. And by this time, he'd actually driven past the house at least once. He would ask her, hey, are your parents home? She explains, like, well, this isn't my house. This is my friend's house. And he's like, well, are her parents home? And she's like, no. Uh-oh. And she does later recount that he didn't seem creepy or scary. She didn't get creep vibes from him. I'm opposite. I get creep vibes from all men. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, Cody, creep over here. Like, it doesn't matter who it is, you know? Like, all men. Yeah. I grew up with my mom telling me, if a strange man asks you to get in his car, you say no. And remember, all men are strange. Like, that stuck.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that's what I was going to say, too. I feel like that, okay, part of me hates to bring this up, but the whole thing that's been going, you know, trending lately, man versus bear.
Yeah, man versus bear. I was going to say
the bear. I am one of the people, I would choose the bear.
Yeah.
100 times. Too. Like, every freaking time. And me and James had this conversation, and he had some good points. I don't remember what they were right now. He completely understands the bear thing. And I could search it in my phone, or I could just ask him.
I have to explain it to Cody, because he's like, well, survival rates.
Survival rates? I'd still take the bear. When we were talking about man versus bear in the woods, what did you say before I explained my part?
Bear.
But why bear?
Same reason why. Men are more dangerous to women than bears, statistically.
Yeah, okay, so he went... Statistically, that's what it was. Men are more dangerous to women than a bear. And to take that even farther, I was like, yeah, but see me, if I see a bear in the wood, I'm like, okay, cool. There's a bear. He's supposed to be here. If I see a man in the wood, it's like, what are you doing here? Why are you here by yourself? What kind of shoes are you wearing? What's in your hand? Like, I'm just going
to... Right. Like a bear just is in its natural habitat, right? Like
exactly. Yeah. And then furthermore, like women go out in public, case in point, D-bag McGee here, women go out in public and are harassed by men. So
right.
It's just something a lot of women are raised to have that in the back of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Head on a swivel.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's 2002. She did not get creep vibes from him. She's like, it's fine. It's all fine. We're good. And when he finds out that there are no parents home, he kind of steps closer, pretending to hand her a brochure. And within seconds, he had a gun to her neck.
Oh.
But within seconds, he had a gun to her neck. He would force her into a plastic bin in the back of his car.
Like a Tupperware? Like one of the big totes?
Yeah, like a big tote.
Oh.
He would tell her that she had to come with him or he would shoot her. Now, keep in mind, this is in broad daylight.
Yeah, in a neighborhood, right?
Yeah. So, Kara somehow was able to maintain her composure. Not me.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd be a goner.
Yeah, she at 15, was... I would lose it.
At 30, I'd lose it.
Honestly, I'd probably be like, shoot me. That's fine.
I'd be like, all right, we're cool. We're doing this? Cool.
Yeah.
Though I know my dad would say, just comply, just comply. They've got a gun to you. Just do what they say. Dad, I'm sorry, but I'm not that type of person. I panic easy. So
I'm a fighter. So it's like, if we're going to do this, someone's going to hear it.
Yeah. Anyways, so she maintains her composure. Kara would report that she felt the gun, like, as soon as she felt the gun, she would go into survival mode. And she just had thoughts like, go with him, be agreeable, don't fight back. Let him think you're not going to fight back, catch him off guard, remember everything you can, just survive. Like, that's what she is thinking. She's just, I have to survive. Now, she gets in, and reports state that she remembered the turns, like, she remembered how many turns the vehicle took. She was counting them, trying to keep track.
And that she is so impressive to me when people do that. I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but like, this girl is on it.
We've had another story like this, and I don't know if you remember it, but it's the other story is Lisa McVeigh. It's been a while since we've done that one.
I vaguely remember that one, but yeah, she was abducted in broad daylight too, right?
She was what?
Wasn't she abducted in daylight too?
No, hers was at night.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Sorry, I suck. But I do remember having like the wherewithal to be like, okay, this is one right turn, two right turns, right, left turn. Like, what?
Right. Well, okay, so Kara, she also memorized the serial number on a sticker that was located inside of the storage bin she was forced into.
They come with serial numbers?
Well, that one did. It was like on a sticker.
Oh, so it could have been anything, something he stored in there.
No, it was like part of, like, it was a serial number on that bin.
That's insane to me. And she's doing both of these things at the same time?
Uh-huh.
God, I'm done for.
So, I know, I'm like, nah, there's no way I'm remembering that.
Mm-mm.
So, Ivonitz, he would pull the car over on the side of the road. He would handcuff her, tie her feet, and put a ball gag in her mouth, ordering her to remain quiet and forcing her back into the bin. He would then take her to his apartment, carrying the container in as to not be seen by neighbors, which is why he tied her up and put the ball gag in so she couldn't cause issues. Once there, he would rape her multiple times, force her to smoke marijuana, tie her to his bed, watch the evening news to see if there was anything about her abduction. He would also tie her, one report, I should say this is only one report. He would tie her to a homemade wooden apparatus to spread her legs. I don't have pictures. I don't want pictures of it.
No, I don't want pictures. I'm good, thanks.
And he basically just held her captive here. And whenever he got the urge to sexually assault her, he would.
And he was married at this time or no?
Yes, he is married at this time. We'll talk about where his wife is. Don't worry.
Okay.
Now, in his apartment, Kara would note that there are animals. He's got like hamsters, guinea pigs, birds, that type of stuff. in the apartment. And she's got the wherewithal to like ask him questions. Like she is asking him questions. But he tells her that he would release her after he was done with her.
Oh.
I'm done with you, sir. So she's waiting just for her chance to prod him for information. Or for her chance to escape. So she's just prodding him for this information. And she learns he's in the Navy. She swept the floor while he ate. And this was so that she could kind of look around the house. And she memorized the address of his dentist and his doctor from magnets on the fridge. She did discover he lived with a woman. And this is when he forced her back into the bin where she would suffer from a panic attack. He put the ball gag in, put her in the bin, and closed the bin. But he was making this phone call to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about where she was. That night, he would handcuff her to the bed to sleep. And in the morning, while Ivana slept, Kara was able to free herself. Now, it was like, I didn't write down what they called it, but it was like, so there's like a rope attached to the bed, and then there is like a carabiner,
But it's
where you twist it to be able to open it or close it.
Oh, yeah, like a latch, like a carabiner that you screw into place and it locks.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And then she's handcuffed, too. So he's put the handcuffs in the carabiner.
If you would have said the word that they actually called that, I would have not known.
Yeah, that's why I didn't put it in here. Okay. But the next morning, Kara would take this as an opportunity because she could tell he was asleep. And she would unscrew the carabiner. Using her teeth and fingers and other means that she could. Her feet had also been tied up, and she was able to... So she gets the carabiner, gets one hand out of the handcuffs, and then she gets her feet out of the ties as well. And she silently makes her way to the front. She gets out of bed, and she describes there being... Like, she gets out into the front, and in front of the door, she describes there being a plastic container, a vacuum cleaner, just other random household objects in the way. And so she's like spending a couple seconds like, what do I do? Like, if I move this and I make noise, he's going to wake up and I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
I skipped a bullet. While she was there, reports state that he forced her to call him daddy, by the way.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Gross.
So I'm going to throw that in when I just realized I totally skipped over that line. But she's just looking at the stuff, like, what do I do with it? And she just makes a decision. And it's got just, like, the folding, like, door, folding closet door. So she just shoves all of that in, slams that door closed, books it out the front door. And she's out of the apartment. She's just running. She's like, even if he woke up, at least I'm outside. So if he shoots me, someone's going to see it. Yeah. Or, like, he's not going to be able to hide it as well. And she is able to get out, and she flags down a passing car. And she says, hey, I was kidnapped. Please take me to the police station. And they do that. They take her to the police station, and she gives them all the details she could remember.
Is she clothed?
She is clothed. She did get clothed while she was sneaking out.
But does she have shoes?
I don't believe so.
I hate that. Okay. I mean, I'm glad she had clothes on at least, but it just, I hate when people take their shoes because that's just so.
I think she was taken without shoes. So she didn't even have them when he took her because she was outside watering plants at her friend's house.
Yeah.
Still in her pajamas.
That's just such like an added layer of vulnerability that I don't know if I'm one of the only people that think of that. But to me, I'm just like, I don't like being without my shoes because like it's so much harder to run and oh my God.
Yeah. So she gives police all the details she can remember. Like I said, some of this information she memorized just from random things. Some of the information she prodded at him to get information. Now in total, she was held captive for 18 hours. You will see a lot of people reference this as 2 days, but it was because she went overnight. Not that she wanted to, but her captivity went overnight.
Okay.
Now, where was his wife during this? She was actually in Walt Disney World, like confirmed visiting Walt Disney World with his mother.
Did he send them on vacation?
But some say they did, some say they didn't. So it's just a conflict right there. Either way, he wasn't with them. It was a girls' trip or whatever that you want to call it. And they were in Florida. They were in Walt Disney World.
Oh my God. I just feel like he definitely planned this.
It sure seems like he did. So by the time police are able to identify him, he's already fled, right? Like, Kara's given them all the information. They are finally able to track down, like, the apartment, the place that she escaped from. They confirmed all of this information. And when they get to the apartment, he's not there. It's presumed that when Kara escaped and he realized that he was in trouble, he just immediately flees.
Did you say flee flees?
No, he just immediately flees.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I heard flee flees.
He just flee flees.
That's when you flee really fast.
Yeah, you flee from fleeing and then flee again. So police, they're able to get warrants because at this point, they're like, the amount of detail this girl's given us, we can see the animals, all this stuff. And they get warrants to search his apartment and cars. What they find is not quite what they're expecting, because they're expecting to find evidence of Kara's kidnapping. They find a little bit more. In his apartment, police find nude photos of young girls. They stated hundreds of pornographic images and videotapes of children on his computer. This included one of himself molesting a young girl and another of him just masturbating to Polaroids of other children. Why people do that, I don't know. Like, either of them, I don't understand.
Oh my God, I'm so disgusting.
They also find a large number of girls' underwear that have never been linked to any cases or individual, so still concerning. A journal with some details they were not expecting, some newspaper clippings, and DNA that linked him to at least 3 other murders.
So he's definitely done this before.
Mm-hmm. Well, not quite what he's done with Kara, but he's done some.
And his poor wife had no idea who she was married to.
Apparently not.
Oh my God, that poor woman.
So, they get a lot. So, he has, like, trophies, basically. So, this leads police to wholeheartedly, obviously, believe that there are more victims. But these are the 3 I can find that he is definitively linked to. The first victim, and this does not include Kara, by the way. These are outside of Kara. The first victim is Sophia Marlene Silva. She was just 16 years old on September 9th, 1996, when she was abducted from her home. Now, this was in Spotsylvania County, Virginia. She had just returned from home from school, and she had been doing homework on her front step. Nice day outside, whatever. She was taken without any signs of a struggle, and there were no witnesses. She just disappeared. What's even worse is that her older sister was inside and had no idea she had disappeared.
Oh my God, that's heartbreaking.
1 month after her abduction, her body was found in Birchwood Creek, about 20 miles away, and she had been found wrapped in a white cover. Her pubic hair had also been shaved off, and there was just no evidence to point to who could have done this until 2002. The next 2 victims are Kristen Michelle Lisk, also known as Christy. She was 15, and her sister, Catherine Nicole List, also known as Katie, who was 12. They would also disappear from the front of their house on May 1st, 1997. And this would be in the same county in Virginia. The last time the girls were seen was when they were getting off of their respective school buses. And when their father returned home, there was no sign of the girls except for Christy's book bag was in the front yard. So her backpack is laying in the front yard. But the girls aren't there. The sisters' bodies were found 5 days later. They had been clearly sexually assaulted and drowned. And what they have found is that the drowning was bathwater that was found in their lungs. So they were drowned in his home and then moved. Sorry, no, go on.
I was going to say the drownings is kind of interesting given the possible history with his father.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people point to that and say maybe that's why he did it, or that was maybe one of those events in his life or whatever it may have been. Doesn't matter. He shouldn't have done it. Their bodies were dumped in the South Anna River. So just to clarify, it was confirmed. The water in their lungs was not from the river. It was from a bathtub.
Okay.
When they were discovered, they were also discovered to have had their pubic hair shaved off, if they had any at all at that time.
Okay.
Again, there was no evidence until 2002. Now, when Kara had escaped, she was still wearing a pair of fuzzy handcuffs. The fibers from these cuffs were matched to Sophia Marlene Silva, Christy Lisk, and Katie Lisk. Like, those were fibers found on their bodies. And those were a match. There was also a handprint that was lifted from the trunk of the car of Mark Avantis's car. And this matched the handprint of Christy Lisk. Also, in that locked footlocker, they found the newspaper clippings about the murders of all three girls. And then Ivanitz's hair was also found on the girls' bodies. So there was that as well. They had a pretty solid evidence right there.
Sounds good.
Ivanitz is also suspected in other murders. He is believed to have committed a lot more, but this was the one that I saw was kind of a big one. This one he is not officially connected to in the sense that he does not have, there's no physical evidence. And this is for Sarah Cherry. She was 12 years old on July 6, 1988. She was abducted while babysitting in Bowdoin, Maine. Several days after she disappeared, her body was found hidden in a wooded area. She was, oh God, she was found bound with rope. She had been sexually assaulted with birch sticks, stabbed, and strangled with a scarf. At the time of her murder, Mark Avantis, he was still in the Navy. The ship he had been on was stationed in stationed in Portland between May 8th, 1988 and May 31st, 1989. And Mark was linked to the case years later after Deidre Enright, the founder of the University of Virginia's Law School's Innocence Project. So she would link him with his MO. She also stated that he had access to a white Toyota Corolla, which was similar to the description of a vehicle that was seen near where Sarah's body was found. He was also known to frequent the Brunswick Naval Air Station commissary, which was about 13 miles south of Bowdoin. DNA recovered from Sarah's body was not able to be compared to Ivanitz, and this was for no reason other than the DNA was deemed insufficient. Now, I did mention the Innocence Project. When you have the Innocence Project, there's a little more to the story. Now, the reason this is involved is because in 1989, there was actually a conviction for the murder of Sarah Cherry. Dennis DeChain was convicted of the murder of the then 12-year-old Sarah. There was evidence that linked him to the crime that had been found in the driveway of the home. The only item I could get clarity on was an estimate that had his name on it. In addition, the rope and the scarf had been confirmed to have come from his truck. Now, DeChain claims that someone stole those items from his truck, effectively framing him. He claims that the day in question, he left his farm. He was a farmer. He went into the woods, got high, not clear on what he was on, but he did admittedly get high on something, got lost in the woods, came across an elderly couple, and eventually flagged down a police car because he was high and lost. During questioning, he would actually lie to authorities about what he actually did, telling them that he had gone fishing. He also lied about his employment status and his address. He claims that he lied about these things due to the drug use. So he's like, it's very clear that I'm high right now. I'm very clear, and my employment, I can't be high, whatever it is. So that's what he claims. His red Toyota pickup was also found 450 feet away from where Sarah's body was found. But there was no evidence that Sarah had been in his truck. And tracking dogs, they did not pick up on her scent in the immediate vicinity or in his truck itself. So there was nothing to say she had ever been in his truck.
Right.
He was ultimately convicted of her murder, and he was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Since then, he has been fighting his conviction through a multitude of appeals. He cites evidence such as male DNA found under her fingernails, which did not match his.
Okay, there was, that feels like a big old flag there.
Yep. There was also none of Sarah's DNA in his truck, and really just any new evidence that comes out, he tries to flag it and cite it. In 2022, after many, many failed appeals, he was able to make a new appeal that required further DNA testing with new and more advanced instruments. You know, there's a lot of advancements.
Yeah.
This was actually approved, and the DNA testing was completed on November 6, 2022. And this DNA testing did not find a match in DNA from the crime scene to the chain on six different items. Technically, it's only three. So the bra that Sarah wore, there was no match to his DNA. One of the sticks used to sexually assault her, his DNA was not found. And the bandana that had been used to gag her, his DNA was not found on those. The other three items came back inconclusive. So, I mean, so kind of looking pretty good for him. As of 2020...
Was any other DNA found on these?
Not a match. So they just know the DNA from those items did not match him.
Okay, so they didn't test it against, like, anybody else? Like, Avis or anything?
I believe they did, but they didn't have a match.
Okay. I was hoping.
Yeah. So, as of 2022, his current attorney was filing a motion for a new trial based on those DNA results. So, he could be innocent. He may not be. So far, based on the physical evidence, specifically the DNA evidence, he does not appear responsible for her murder. However, that's just the evidence that I have available to me as the public.
Okay.
There are also a lot of people that believe he was the Route 29 stalker. Not that I'm defending him, but these Route 29 cases, they don't seem to fit his MO since the women were 20 or older. So right. I'm going to try and find a lot more details on those cases and do a full story. So I'm not going into detail. Sorry, guys. But that is where the Sarah Cherry case stands right now. People believe that Mark Vonitz is responsible. But DeChain is currently in prison for the crime. So Ivonitz is a suspect in a lot more murders and a lot more rapes. Even in 2024, some potential victims are still being identified.
Oh my gosh.
And a lot of this is, I didn't quite understand it because I understood if they had taken his DNA at any point and had it in a system, we could compare DNA, but his family did have him cremated, and so that kind of prevents any further DNA for Mark. And we'll talk about his death later on.
Okay.
Yes. So, Mark Vonitz, at this point, he is at large, right? So, Kara's escaped, she's gone to police, police have done their investigation, they're finding these other victims, but they're not finding Mark Vonitz. And there is a full-on manhunt underway. So police, they contact all family members of Ivonitz, including his mother, sisters, and wife, all of whom stated they had no clue he was a murderer. And before you get upset about the wife not knowing, if they got married in 1999 and there were no cases between 99 and 2002, at least none that I could find that he was suspected of committing. So it's possible he, quote-unquote, took a break and used this, his wife going away, as an opportunity.
Yeah.
Though, I will say, after all is said and done, his wife still stood at his side. She basically said, well, he's still my husband, and I still love him. It would be jolting information to learn that your husband had done something like this and be able to accept it so easily. Yeah. In addition, there was a pretty big age gap between the two. He was 38 at the time of Kara's kidnapping, her abduction. His wife would have been around 19 or 20 years old.
Oh.
I wasn't kidding when I said that he liked younger women. So, what was explained was that he might have been getting bored with his wife. She was maturing, and he did not like mature women.
He's so gross. Ugh.
He is really gross. It was explained in an article that his wife was like, she basically said none of, like, basically what's believed is that at the time he was married to these very young girls, his fantasies were being fulfilled because they were so young. And his wives may have allowed for things such as bondage, role play, that type of stuff, and not even thought anything of it because of how young they were.
Yeah.
So I know for his second wife, she was like, yeah, like, I called him daddy in the bedroom. Like, I just thought that was normal. Like, a lot of couples do it.
Because they're so young at this point. Like, he's going to be able to get them to do, I don't want to say anything, but I'll say he's going to be able to get them to do a lot.
Yeah. On top of that, as his wives are aging, he starts to lose interest. Some reports stated that he openly said that he did not find his wives attractive when they're 20-ish years old.
Gross. Why did you think I would like this story?
I'm gonna explain in a minute. Jesus Christ.
Okay. I keep, like, we keep going, and I'm like, why does she think I'm gonna like this?
It's because of the survivor aspect. Now, shut up. Anyways. So, his wife, sister's mother are all like, we had no idea. No clue. On June 27th, 2002, Mark Ivanitz, he would call his younger sister Jennifer. And he would admit to her that he had actually committed, quote, more crimes than he can remember. So, at this point, Jennifer is living in Florida. And he would tell her to meet him at this IHOP in Jacksonville. Jennifer, being a good person, she actually calls police and turns him in.
Hell yeah.
And police would find an attempt to detain Mark Ivanitz. Reports state that there was a high-speed chase. It ended when he ran over spike strips. He was surrounded by officers in Sarasota, Florida. And police would try to peacefully as they could, get him to just submit to being arrested, as he was armed. Nothing was working. And they would release police dogs. He would be bit several times. And after the police dogs were released, Ivanitz would shoot himself. And he was declared dead at 10:52 that same night.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he did.
Yep. Now, this news originally outraged Kara. She was pissed. And she would state in a 2021 interview that she was just so angry that he was dead. She wanted to go to court. She wanted to have him see her and know that choosing her as a victim was his biggest mistake. She wanted her vengeance, and she wanted him knowing that he was outsmarted by a 15-year-old girl.
She is a badass.
That's why I said you would like it to an extent, okay?
Yeah, I do. Like, I appreciate the hell out of Kara Robinson. Like,
After Kara's role in helping solve the murders of the Lisk sisters and Sophia, some reports say she was actually awarded $150,000 for, like, the reward on information on those. And she would actually have the opportunity to meet members of their families. And she would state, quote, "It was one of the most important things that's ever happened to me, because it brought home the importance of what I did, because I felt like, wow, I'm actually giving these families something that they never would have gotten without me. Just the closure of knowing that the person responsible for their daughter's death is no longer here."
She's way too smart for I'm going to say 15 to 17 year old girl at this point.
It's not clear when she actually met them. It might have been a little bit later. She was only 15. She might not have met them until she was early 20s. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But that is what she did talk about it.
This whole story of her, though, like, she's so ridiculously smart for her age.
Uh-huh. Oh, I am not arguing that at all. Now, a movie about Kara's abduction was released in 2023. It was called The Girl Who Escaped, The Kara Robinson Story. Elizabeth Smart would serve as an executive producer on this film. Though, hold on, I found another Oxygen movie called Escaping Captivity the Kara Robinson story that also said that Elizabeth Smart was an executive producer. So I'm not sure if the names got swapped in different articles.
Okay.
And I forgot to validate if she was an executive producer on both of them. So that's my bad. Sorry, guys. But I feel like if Elizabeth Smart is stepping in and doing anything, that's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good visual or retelling of what actually happened. Kara, after all is said and done, she would initially go into law enforcement. Sources stated that she was either a resource officer at a local school. Other sources stated she worked in victim services. She would eventually retire from that and become a motivational speaker for survivors. She was at 186,000 followers on Instagram as of today. She does have a TikTok account that she's using as well. She talks about her struggles with her emotional detachment. She actually talks about how she had given birth to her second child and realized that something was not normal. And she began a journey of healing that allowed for her to recognize her emotions and the trauma that she suffered, including like one thing, key thing that's helped her is like exercise. So she's speaking to survivors and victims today, and just being like a keynote speaker, very motivational, doing what she can to help support, unfortunately, a very large community.
A fact check that for you. The girl who escaped the Kara Robinson story is the one that is executive produced by Elizabeth Smart.
Okay.
And that's on Hulu, so I plan to watch it.
I did watch it. It was actually really good. I will say, I don't know how much of that is exaggerated or added. There are some parts in that were only in the movie that I was like, I can't confirm if this happened. So I'm not even going to attempt to.
Yeah.
But yes, it was pretty good. I think you can buy it on Amazon Prime as well for like $5.
Yeah, it was. It was on Amazon Prime too. I didn't see the price.
I couldn't get Hulu to work. So I was like, Amazon Prime, that works for me.
We have options.
But yes. So it was actually a very good movie. The one thing I did forget, it was to add a picture of Kara today. So if you want to see pictures of Kara today, go to her Instagram, which I just freaking closed. Kara Robinson. It is Kara Robinson Chamberlain. So no spaces, underscores, anything like that. Okay. But yeah, she shares her story. She's very strong for doing what she does.
Yeah.
So that is my story.
I guess I liked it. I liked the end of it.
I said to an extent, I knew you would like it because of the survivor aspect.
I liked when he died and she survived.
Well, she also says, I wish he wouldn't have killed himself because we could have gotten. She fully believes that he would have, at least in an interview she did either in 2021 or 22, she believes that he would have confessed to a lot more crimes than what we know about.
Really?
She
got him to talk.
Yeah. He apparently was happy to talk about himself.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
He's the worst, so.
The world is better off without him, though. I'll say that much.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying he sucks altogether.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, are you ready for a different... Are you ready to take on or take over?
I'm kind of excited about this one. It's a little on the shorter side, but I wanted to do it anyway, and it's my story. So shut up, everybody. No, I kind of love this guy. Well, I kind of love this cryptid. I feel like it's been a while since I did a cryptid. It probably hasn't, but I feel like it has.
Do you want me to look at what it is? When the last time you did a cryptid was?
Yeah, it was the last time I did a cryptid.
It was when you did the Kraken. 132.
Oh, so that wasn't that long ago.
4 episodes ago.
Okay. Well, that was a month.
I would like to point out my last cryptid, which was last time, felt like it took me forever to get back to cryptids. It was... I mean, you could, if you want to include the cryptids from Norse mythology, it was 126. Took 9 episodes and I was dying.
That, yeah, I'll probably do, I'm definitely going to do more cryptids, because, okay, I missed some, all right. But this guy, this is the...
Holy shit, yeah, sorry, I'm just realizing we haven't been doing a lot of cryptids lately.
No, because we did a lot of them, and then we were like, oh, we're doing a lot of these, we should stop, and then we were just like... No cryptids at all whatsoever. You get one every 20 episodes.
Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to mix it up.
I brought you today an Irish cryptid. And there's a lot of Irish words in here.
Okay.
Some of them old Irish. So, guys, I'm sorry. I did my best. Okay. But this is the Doar Cú. It roughly translates to water hound or hound of the deep. I also saw it described or called the Irish crocodile. But it's not a crocodile. It's an otter.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the Irish had otters.
Oh, this guy is utterly terrifying. The most commonly told story that goes along with this cryptid, it dates back to 1722. Grace Connolly, she and her husband, Terence McLaughlin, they lived on the shore of a lake. And
Grace went to this... I love how you said that. They lived on the shore of a lake. I'd say they have lakefront property.
Well, they didn't. So they, from what I've read, it kind of varies, but I don't believe they lived like right on the shore. I think they definitely lived within walking distance.
Shore of a lake.
One day, I'm doing my best, guys. One day, Grace went to this lake and she either went to wash clothes or take a bath. Heck, probably both. Maybe both at the same time. Maybe she went to wash the clothes she was wearing. I don't know. But time passed, and Terrence was like, where the hell is Grace? I don't know. I'm probably getting hungry or something. I don't know. You know, men from back in the day. But too much time had passed to where she should have definitely been home by now. So he goes down to the lake to check on her. And he finds her bloody body on the shore of the lake with this white otter the size of a large dog with a black cross on its back laying across her asleep. So this otter obviously killed his wife and he's angry. So.
Otterously.
Yeah. Good one. Some stories say that he has a gun. Most stories say that he has a knife with him. But either way, he sneaks up on this large sleeping otter and he kills it. And with its dying breath, it let out this piercing whistle. And Doar Cús are known to do this when they die to warn their mates of danger. But it also... He
was just taking a nap.
I mean, honestly, yeah, he was just, how does he know he killed his wife? He could have been grieving her.
Maybe he tried to protect her.
It could have, no, it wasn't. They're known to feast on humans. Okay. Multiple sources said that they had a thirst for human flesh. So I tried to defend them, but I could not in good conscience do that. So, yeah, here we are. He probably killed her. But after it let out this piercing whistle, suddenly another white otter with a black cross on its back just rocketed out of the water towards Terrence. And this thing was pissed because Terrence just killed his mate. So this thing chases him for miles. Terrence had hopped on his horse and took off. And this Doar Cú is coming after him. It's not giving up. And it chases him for so long that Terrence is forced to stop at a blacksmith to have his horse reshoed. And this part just felt it like I feel like there's a plot hole here because is the horseshoe just hanging out outside? Like, it's like, oh, go ahead, get your horse reshoot. I'll wait. I want a fair chase here.
You just had enough time to stop and get your horse reshoot?
Yeah.
Wouldn't like, your horse get exhausted too, though?
From what I've read, it was about 20 miles that this thing chased them. And they're said to be able to run at least as fast as a horse. So I'm expecting his horse is tired. And I don't know how fast this farrier works, but I don't know. That part just felt weird.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one solely because his poor horse is exhausted. I can tell you right now that horse is exhausted.
I could tell you right now this poor horse, okay? This poor horse. Anyway, so while he's at the blacksmith, I guess they get to chit-chatting. I don't know.
You're being chased by this giant otter, and you're just chit-chatting. Yeah.
He's like, so what brings you here today? Oh, I'm just being chased by this giant white otter because I killed its mate. How are you? How's business?
How about that weather?
Now, lucky for Terrence, though, this blacksmith knew a lot about the Doarchu. And he gave Terrence a sword. And he told him, when the creature charges, he'll put his head right through the horse. As soon as he does this, you be quick and cut his head off. So Terrence sets up near the forge and he's waiting atop his horse for this thing to come catch barreling up through. Yeah, and it does. When the Doarchu appears, it ran at the horse just as the blacksmith said that it would and determined to avenge his wife, which I thought he already did, but okay. Determined to avenge his wife. As soon as the head of the Doarchu went through his horse, Terrence sunk the sword through the top of his head. And he was considered a hero for killing not one, but two Doarchus.
Okay.
To further prove that this story is true, the grave slab of Grace Connolly has an image of a dog-like creature with a hand thrusting a blade through its turned head. And Terrence's slab has an image of him on a horse with a dagger carved into it. And I have those pictures on the
drive. Did you say that was did you say that was further proof? Because I don't know that that's necessarily proof.
Yes.
Okay.
oh god. Cashelgarran Stone Fort is still in Ireland, last I checked. But it was said to be where the final battle took place between Terrence and this Doarchu. And both the horse and the Doarchu are said to be buried near this stone fort. The Doarchu...
You and I are just falling apart tonight.
We're struggle-bussing hard.
Can't breathe. I've got ice all over my shins.
I'm sniffing a thing of Vicks VapoRub.
You sound like you've been screaming at the top of your lungs for a couple hours.
I mean, that is the only way Annie will listen, but it hasn't been hours.
I'm just saying, like, we're struggle bussing today.
But we're here, we're making it, we're getting shit done.
You know what? At least we have good attendance today.
Glad you added the today, because we are queens of procrastination.
We are really good. In my defense, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. In your defense, you're pregnant.
In your defense, you have two children already.
Oh, and no voice. Well, voices? I don't know if y'all know this. Having a voice, crucial to a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, kind of overrated, though, at the same time.
My voice, definitely. Okay. I like this one better. It's sultry. Let me tell you about the Doarchu. They are also known as Master Otter, Father of Otters, Irish Crocodile, and King of All Lakes.
Of all lakes? They just were of like, that's all my title. Lakes.
Yes. All of, if there's a lake in Ireland, it's the Doarchus.
Good to know.
These things are 7 feet long. They don't sleep. Ever. They don't sleep.
That's just mean of nature.
Yeah. So if you cross one, he's just going to be stalking you forever.
I'm good.
They have magic skin. Okay. So just an inch of its skin is said to prevent ships from sinking, protect a horse from injury, and make a man impervious to wounds of any kind.
Is this like making things out of its skin?
Just having it. Like, just having a piece of Doar 2 flesh, I guess.
How big do you have to have? Like, is a small bit enough? Or do you have to have, like, a lot?
An inch.
Oh, I was blowing my nose when you said that part. Oh.
I was like, didn't I say that?
Sorry, I was blowing my nose. I was muted, so I was just blowing my nose. And I must not have connected.
My bad. I have literally Googled buy Doar 2 skin because I wanted to put a piece in my car.
You need a piece in your car because
I do.
Your steed is struggling.
My steed is, she's just barely hanging on. She's just taking punches left and right.
She's abused.
That friggin', I don't know why. Those alligator teeth almost went through her like a Doar 2.
She might need more than an inch.
Yeah, honestly, she might need 2 or 3.
She might need the whole skin.
I just need a Doar 2 to just ride passenger with me at all times.
Did you find anywhere to actually buy the skin?
No. There's a couple paintings on Etsy, though. I wonder if that would work.
To point out, I just typed in Doar 2 skin. And then mm-hmm. It came up with skincare.
Oh. That's mean. How did you spell it? Because Doar 2 was wild.
D-O-B-H-A-R-H-A-R-C-U. Or C-H.
Close. D-O-B-H-A-R-C-H-U.
It's still coming up with skincare products.
Really? The first thing I get is Doar 2, and it's a painting on Etsy.
Well, I typed in skin. I don't know, it's being weird.
Here's a sticker. Maybe I should get that and put it in my car. Does that count?
Ooh, get a couple bumper stickers. Do it.
It says Doar 2, made in Ireland.
Skin for sale.
That's such a wild thing to put into your Google skin for sale.
It's Doar 2 skin for sale. I was adding that. Jeez Louise, I'm not just typing skin for sale. Or else the FBI would be here in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
They would be like, ma'am, we're concerned.
You should be.
Gosh.
Oh yeah. So he's so fast. When he runs at top speed, the Doar 2's nose splits rocks. So he can just run straight through them. And this man just left his horse there as bait to let this happen. After the blacksmith is like, yeah, just stand, just, you know, sit up on your horse and he'll run right through it. Like, you just, what did their horse do to you?
You're going to split my horsey in half.
Yeah.
That was rude.
That's so rude. And then they buried the horse near the Doar 2. Hadn't this horse been through enough?
In their defense, horses are really hard to move.
You could try.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, like, that's a heavy creature.
But I guarantee you, if you tied that horse to other horses and drug it, it could be done.
Do you really want to drag a horse?
No, like on a tarp or something on, you know.
But did they have that type of thought process then?
They should have.
Do they have something that wouldn't snag and rip?
Surely they did. 1700s, maybe. They had a cart.
That doesn't mean they had a tarp.
People.
I'm just saying, that's a hard creature. Not that the horsey deserves it. That's just a really hard creature to move. Like, even still today, though, even today, it's not, like, moving a deceased horse is not pretty.
I still just don't understand. Like, there's a town in Alabama that allegedly has a horse just buried there in the middle of it. And I just don't understand. Andalusia, by the way. Some people believe that the Dwarchu is an immature version, or like a juvenile Loch Ness monster. But I only found that in like two sources. I don't think that's widely known or widely believed. And my favorite thing that the Dwarchu does, he commands an army of 100 otters.
I do enjoy that. He's question, mm-hmm. Is it each of them commands? Oh, I guess you said of otters. I was thinking like other Dwarchus.
There is not one Dwarchu. There are multiple. And yes.
No, well, I was thinking like the army was the 100 Dwarchus, but you said otters.
Yes, each Dwarchu has an army of 100 otters.
But I was thinking they commanded an army of 100 Dwarchus. So I was like, each one? But no, it's otters. Okay, I just need to listen better.
I guess if they banded together, maybe. They would just have one large Dwarchu otter army.
What would a army of otters do?
Whatever the hell they want, I think. They would hold hands and float down the river.
I only ask because aren't otters smash generally clams? Well, are otters generally known for being friendly to humans, at least?
I don't think in the wild. Aren't they carnivorous?
They said to humans.
Let's see.
Google says otters are generally known. So they're dangerous. It just seems like maybe they don't bug humans.
Yeah. Well, this says, whether you see an otter on land or at sea, be sure to maintain a safe distance of at least 5 kayak lengths. I don't know what that is.
What a kayak
60
is?
60 or... feet. I don't know what 5 kayaks are. Like, what is 5 kayaks?
You gotta eyeball it. Like, the 3 car lengths, 2 car lengths, you know?
This says, or 60 feet. That feels easier to me. 5 kayaks, I gotta, like, line them up in my head.
Look, this says, while otter attacks on humans are rare, they can happen when an otter feels threatened.
Or if they're under command of a Dwarchu.
Oh, hold on. I didn't finish this. I was just finishing reading it. It says, for example, when an otter attacks a kayak, it might leap on it and lunge at the person's face.
Oh my god, that's aggressive. What?
But it's rare.
Because you gotta keep that 5 kayak length. That's why.
Not 4 kayak lengths, 5.
No, yeah, 5 if not 6, actually.
Maybe do 7 or 8 to be extra. Yeah. Get some binoculars.
You know what? Don't kayak.
You know what? Get you a face shield. Wear like a motorcycle helmet with a shield.
Just an astronaut helmet, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. That's not weird at all. Dwarchus, they're said, people say that they migrate, they believe that they migrate, because they're found in so many lakes in Ireland. But nobody knows their migration patterns. They only know that they travel in pairs. Oh, excuse me.
Okay, so at any given time, there could be 2 Dwarchus and 200 otters near me.
Yes, in Ireland.
If I were in Ireland.
Yes.
No thanks.
Just stay away from lakes and rivers and you should be okay.
But they can chase me on land. And they can go as fast as a horse.
Okay, what if I accidentally stay away from lakes and rivers?
Okay, but what if I accidentally intervene? Like, I'm just riding my pony on a joyride, whatever you want to call it, and I cross the path of a door chew. I had to think about it for a second.
It sounded like you said doily, and I was like, they can wear doilies, I guess.
Said Doberman.
It's funny you say that, because when I typed Doar Chew into Etsy, there was like 6 Doar Chew things and 74,000 Dobermans.
Oh, okay. I almost said Doberman. I meant Doar. I had to think about it. But I'm riding my pony. I accidentally cross the path of a Doar Chew because it's chasing its current victim, and it gets confused and starts chasing me. Or
I guess you get off your pony. Get off your pony, get in a plane, and fly away. Back to the U.S.
Straight to my private plane that's next to me at all times. Oh, gosh. It just kind of hovers over me. That's fine.
It just throws down a rope. It's like, oh, there's a Doar Chew coming. She's going to need this.
What about my pony, though?
You know those, like, those carrier things that they use to fly cows from place to place? You get one for your pony.
And send someone down to get the pony. Got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Just have it, just direct it in, and then you just pick them right up, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how those things work.
I don't know either. I'm just here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to protect myself from the Doar Chew.
And the pony.
Well, myself and the pony, because the pony didn't do anything wrong.
No, the pony is just existing.
But me and my pony are just trotting along. No big deal.
Just horsing around.
Having a heyday.
So, yeah, the only thing that we know about their migration, their possible migration, is that they travel in pairs because they're mated. You know, they mate supposedly for life. Yeah. And these mates will tenaciously and unrelentingly hunt whoever or whatever kills their mate. You're done for.
I mean, I might do the same thing. Unless I'm the one that kills Cody, but he might deserve it.
If you kill him, he might deserve it. But if someone else does, you don't even get a say. And that's out of... No. That's
That one I will...
Out of the question.
Hunt ferociously and tenaciously. Is that what you called it? Is that what you said?
Tenaciously and unrelentingly. But what you said works too. We're just throwing out synonyms at this point.
I'm just throwing out words. It's fine. We're talking about Dobermans.
He's said to be white with a black cross on his back. And the cross is kind of like tail to neck. And then, butt to neck. And then side to side. You can see it in one of the photos. Okay, the one where he's eating a human.
Delicious.
Yeah, yummy. So they are white, but sometimes they're said that they're so dirty they appear darker, like a brown or black.
It's camouflage.
Yes. Which is even more terrifying. The first documented sighting of the Doar Chew was in 1648 by a Miss Walkington. And she described seeing a half wolf dog, half fish creature. And this was in, like, from my understanding, either a book or a newspaper of some sort that she reported this. And then a few months later, a Mr. H. Chichester Hart responded to her via letter. And he claimed that he had heard of a terrible creature called the Doar Chew. And is the king of all lakes and the father of all otters.
Okay,
so like I said, it's reported in lakes throughout Ireland, but most of them seem to come from the County Mayo. And the most recent report was from Sean Corcoran. He's an Irish artist. And he was hanging out with his wife one day when he claimed to see a Doar Chew. This was in the year 2000. It was on Olmi Island in County Galway. He said it was big and dark with orange flippers. and it swam the width of the lake from west to east in what seemed like a matter of a few seconds. And when it reached the bank, it climbed onto a rock and let out a piercing shriek.
It's the shrieking for me. Quit screaming. It's,
yeah, I don't like it. And if that is meant to call your spouse, why do you need your spouse? Honey, we gotta go. James, pack up the picnic. We're leaving. We should have never left the house.
Get the kids, leave the shit, okay?
Yeah. Get the shit, leave the kids.
The kids can walk, they're fine.
Get the kids, leave. Yeah, what you say. Put the kids in the picnic basket, and we gotta go.
I'm not even getting the... grab the kids.
Yeah.
I'm imagining a cartoon of you running and the child just flailing behind you.
No, that's not a cartoon. That's every Tuesday. Most of the time, I just have to pick her up and throw her over my shoulder. But that is the story of the Doar Chu in Ireland.
I don't enjoy him, but I do enjoy him and her. Because it's the army of otters for me.
It's the army of otters!
That's what gets me, is like, I want an army of otters.
Like, it sounds so cute.
Can you imagine with either of us?
This thing.
I know, right? The one picture is kind of cute of it, except for its back legs.
The first picture?
Yeah, D is for Doar Chu.
Yes. And I don't know what book this is either, but I really need it. But that third picture?
I don't know what that is. That's horrible.
I'm so uncomfortable. I'm so uncomfortable.
That thing's... Okay, I didn't realize the human scale until just now. That thing's bigger than a human.
It's huge. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Uh-uh.
I don't like it at all. Not even a little bit. Not nothing.
No.
But I also like the otter. The army of otters. Can you imagine me and you with an army of 100 otters? We would be the least productive army.
We would... Yeah. The army that fought the emus in Australia would be more productive than we were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would be too busy being like, okay, little Henry Otter, I need you to go get another seashell. Go on.
Go get your clam.
Okay, what do we do with the clams?
Smash it on a rock.
Do it, everyone go. You 10, go take a nap. Go snuggle up, take a nap.
Yeah.
You 10.
Hold hands, float down the river.
And look cute as can be.
Yeah. Only it's a lazy river. And they just float in circles.
Yeah. 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 We're just like at a rec center. Lazy river.
Yeah. We're just going to the water park with our
100 otters.
100 each. I get 100, I know. You get 100. I don't want to share.
Think about if it's snowing. I'd be like, okay, guys, we're doing a snowball fight. I believe in you guys.
How would one transport 200 otters? Do we revisit the plane?
Yes, because then they can just hop on.
But can a plane hold 200? Surely it can, if it can hold 200 people.
I'm sure. Otters are not big. Just think about them sleeping in piles wherever they choose, you know?
That's precious. Honestly, just piles of sleeping otters.
Look, we're not allowed to have otters, that's for sure. And then if we had enemies, we'd be like, go attack that kayak.
Get him, Henry.
Right in the face.
Just look, I Google searched angry otter, and this come up. Like, what?
Okay, like... That is how productive we'd be. We'd be like, look angry, photo shoot time.
There's nothing angry about this. It's just an otter with seagrass on his head.
Oh, he angry because he got some seagrass on his head. We'd be doing otter smooches all day long.
That's all I would do all day long.
All day. Could you imagine the dogs?
Okay.
They would have a blast.
So I went to the actual website with this photo. And it's It's an article titled "Part of Lassen Volcanic National Park Closed After Angry Otter Bite Swimmer."
It's probably commanded by a Dora Chew.
It probably is. Oh, he got too close to her kittens. See?
That's their fault. That's fine. No one is judging that otter.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I would bite people that got too close to my children, too.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. All right. Thank you all for listening to Helen Hills Podcast. To see pictures from this episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Helen Hills Podcast, X Helen Hills Pod, or Facebook, Helen Hills Podcast. You can find us on Linktree. By typing in Helen Hills Podcast Linktree, we should be the first thing that comes up. If you want to support us, please like, review, rate, share, and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you want to take your support one step further so we can create more content for you, you can donate through Patreon, where we're working to release specials for our patrons. If you have your own true crime or paranormal story suggestions or words of encouragement, please email us at helenhillspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to tell your friends to listen with you as well. Bye.
Bye.